God spoke to Moses and told him what to say to the children.
Well, aren't you thankful tonight that the tokens applied? Amen. God bless you. Good to be together in service again. Got several announcements that we want to make and quite a few prayer requests tonight. Lord willing, not tomorrow, but the following Thursday, we'll be having, I guess that'll be June the 29th, we'll be having a youth Bible study here at the church in the fellowship area in the basement for the young people. And that'll be, Brother Wes Willis will be leading that, so looking forward to that. And then that Friday evening, June 30th, we'll be having a youth service here at the church. The youth Bible study on Thursday, it'll be from 7:30 to 9:30 for the youth 10 to 30 that are single. And then the youth service on Friday evening, that'll start at 7:30 as well. That'll be for anyone that wants to come is welcome. It'll be focused to the young people. And then we'll be having a pitch-in meal Saturday, July 1st at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then Brother Wes will be with us that Sunday, July 2nd for the morning and the evening service. So I want to remember those services in prayer. And Brother Jimmy requested prayer for Traveling Mercy. They're going to Jacksonville, Florida for a family vacation, and also for Sister Patty, that she can just enjoy the time aside. And we want to also remember a little four-year-old son of a co-worker of Sister Vera's that may lose his vision in one eye. He will undergo surgery on his eye tomorrow afternoon. So I want to remember that prayer request and prayer this evening. Also, my brother Alan, they did some tests. He'd had some nerve issues in his arm about a year ago, and they did some tests, and looks like the doctor's report is that the nerves have got worse. So I want to remember him in prayer. We know that the Lord's more than able to come on the scene in that situation. And little Peyton, which is his granddaughter and my grandniece, they started her on enzyme replacement therapy, and they've seen some improvement from that. She was able to roll over yesterday for the first time in a long time. She'd just been so lethargic, she hadn't been doing anything like that, and was able to lift her head and kind of pull back and things like that. So they're already seeing some improvement from that, so praise the Lord. And the doctors want to keep her in the hospital for about another month while they're doing this enzyme replacement therapy. So just want to remember them in prayer, that Zachary and Kayla, the little Peyton's parents, and it's my nephew and his wife, and I'm sure that'll be difficult, her being in there for a month and back and forth. It's about 3 hours away from their home, so want to remember them in prayer, and especially little Peyton, that the Lord just continue to move on the scene in that situation. Sister Sherry Virgin, she's in the hospital and is scheduled to have surgery tomorrow. It's just going to be an outpatient type laparoscopic surgery. They think that she has a hernia that's kind of punctured her intestine a little bit, and they're going to do surgery to try to resolve that. She was in extreme pain, I believe it was on Monday, or on Tuesday rather, when they took her into the hospital, and we had prayer and some of the saints and different ones praying, and today she's completely pain-free, so praise the Lord for that. And the doctor thought that he was going to have to do a very intrusive surgery that was going to take a long time to recover. And when she initially came in, the symptoms and things, and they did a couple CAT scans, and he was planning on doing a pretty major surgery. And the saints went to prayer, and all the pain she was in and everything, he went and looked at her today and did some more tests, and he said, somebody's prayers got through, because she's doing much, much better, and it's only going to have to be an outpatient surgery now. So praise the Lord for that. Sister Norma Dodge, we want to continue to remember her in prayer, and just that the Lord will give her a touch. I believe she's still in the hospital. And a friend of Jarrett and Emily Ard's by the name of Derek Greer, he has four children, has lost his job, been in the hospital since February with Crohn's disease, and he's also had a heart attack and multiple surgeries. He's in critical condition, so I want to remember him in prayer. And then Brother Biskel, he had bypass surgery today at 3 o'clock, and I haven't got an update on, you know, if he's out of surgery yet or how things are going with that, but I want to remember him in prayer that everything went well with the surgery and just for a quick recovery for him. And also Sister Stephanie Duval, her stepmom fell and broke her elbow and her knee and had to have surgery on Tuesday, and she's doing well from the surgery. It was about a four-hour surgery, but she's doing well, and she's going to be in a rehab place for a couple weeks, so Sister Stephanie will be traveling home tomorrow, so remember her in prayer for Traveling Mercies. A lot of requests tonight, a lot of urgent requests, needy requests, but we serve a God that's more than able to come on the scene for each and every one of them. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see these requests. You see each need. Lord, many that have had surgeries or that are facing surgeries, many that the doctors don't give a lot of hope for, Father. But, Lord, we're thankful tonight that we have a place that we can go to and put our faith in. We thank you for a cleft in the rock that we can go and we can place our confidence in your word and your promises to us. Lord, we know, Lord, Father, you're not only able to meet every need, you're more than able. Lord, we've seen you heal the sick. We've seen you quicken life to dead bodies. We've seen you save the lost and fill the empty. We've seen you do so many miracles and signs and wonders. We know that not one of these requests that was read tonight is too big for you, Father. Lord, we just ask that you come on the scene in a special way for each one, Lord. May each one of these that has a physical need tonight, those that are traveling and need protection, Lord, on the roads and everywhere they would go, Father, may each one of these, Lord, that are sick and needy and facing surgeries or just came through surgeries, Lord, may they just touch the hem of your garment tonight. Lord, the doctors are doing all that they know how to do for these situations, Lord, with their knowledge and their medical studies and their training. But, Father, we bring them before the great physician tonight. Just ask that you would move on the scene again for these needs. May you minister to each one, Father. You know about every request, Lord, before I voiced them over this pulpit. You already knew about them. You're already working behind the scenes, Father, to come on the scene for each one. Lord, we know in the very darkest of hours, that's when you come along, Father. Lord, we just plead your blood for each of these situations, Father, tonight. Lord, be with any that's, Lord, that's lost, that's seeking and searching for you, Father. May you show them the way, Father. Lord, we love you tonight. We just welcome your presence in this service and thank you. We agree together for these needs. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 160 in your hymn book.
Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Oh, no. Build your hopes on things Build your hopes on things eternal. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. We can trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, oh, if by earthly friends forsake,
the move is on. Why don't we stand and sing this evening before Brother Nathan comes? Amen.
The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, I can hear in the mulberry trees, and I know the move is on. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Is that what you came to do tonight? For He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna. Let's magnify the Lord. Oh, I know He is worthy to be praised. And oh, let's magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed sing it again together. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. Amen. I hope you came to bless His name tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I want to turn tonight to St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. St. John, chapter 14, and verse 19 to begin with. Jesus speaking, He says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you." Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the privilege, Lord, to be able to take this scripture, Lord, at its word, and to recognize, Lord, that You weren't just one with Your Father, Lord, but in this age, Lord, there's been a union, that You're becoming one with Your bride. Amen. Lord, You said in that day that we would know, Father, that not only was the Father in You and You in the Father, but Lord, that You were in us and that we were in You. Father, we thank You for Your mercy to us. Thank You, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what You've done in this age. Lord, how that Your eternal purpose was to become one with Your bride, Lord, to have her to become a part of You, Lord, because she was a part of You from before the foundation of the world. Lord, You saw her in Your thinking, and You desired, Lord, to have that thought become manifested in women and men, Lord, throughout the ages, Father, that You had seen a bride that You were going to call out through the church ages. Lord, You had predestined who it would be. You knew in Your thinking who would receive it and who would not receive it. And Lord, You in Your great knowledge and wisdom begin to brood over the earth to call those that would come. Lord, we thank You for eyes to see and ears to hear in this age, Father. Lord, what the Spirit is doing and saying to the churches. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we recognize that You are becoming one with Your bride. Lord, help us, Father. Lord, never let us allow Satan to come in and try to blind us to that fact of what Your great plan is and what You're trying to do, Lord. But may tonight You quicken it to hearts, Lord. May once again we recognize deity in flesh in this age, Lord, the Word being made flesh amongst us. Lord, may it not just be enough for us to see it in others, but may we become Your Word, Father.
Amen.
Lord, may we lay aside everything else and cling so close to You till we become transformed into the image of Your Word. We thank You tonight, Father, for all that You're doing. Lord, we just ask You to have preeminence in this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I was listening to a tape today, and Brother Branham tells the story of a little boy named, he calls him Little Benny. And he said, Little Benny, he got cataracts on his eyes, and he got to a stage to where he lost his sight. And his mother and father were farmers. They were poor people. They didn't have a lot of money. They couldn't afford to have a surgery. And so Little Benny would go around, and he'd try to play with the other children, but he couldn't see what he was doing, and he couldn't play with them in the way that he wanted to. And the neighboring families, they were just poor farmers as well, but they began to feel sorry for Little Benny, and they began to put in a little extra crop that year. They began to work a little harder in the evenings, and they scrimped and saved, and all the families put their money together. And at the end of the year, they had enough money to send Little Benny on a train to get his eye surgery. And when he went there, they performed the cataract surgery, and he came back and he got off the train. The people was waiting there for him, and he began to look around, began to weep and to see their faces. And somebody came up to him and they said, Benny, what did that cost? What did that cost for you to be able to see? He said, I don't know what it costs, but he said, I'm just so thankful to see the faces of the ones that paid for it. Amen. This is what we read tonight, Jesus wanting to become one with his bride. He said, at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, and I in you and you in me. To bring this to pass, ever since Adam, God had desired to have this unity with his bride. But because man had fallen in the garden, they had fallen away from that true fellowship like he had wanted them to be. And the blood of bulls and goats, it was enough to forgive sins, and it was enough to temporarily put a bandage on it, but it wasn't enough to completely remit it. There was still remembrance of sin. But he came because his desire was to have a bride that would be spotless. The blood of bulls and goats wasn't enough to make it in that condition. But he came and he paid a price, Brother Hoover, so that he could say this, that he would be in us and us in him, that it would blend together so perfectly that it would be deity again in human flesh down through the church ages. I don't know what it costs, Brother Lee. Amen. We try to talk about it. We try to describe it. We try to think about the nail prints and the nail scars and the crown of thorns. We try to think about the beard being plucked from his face and the spit and the smacking and the mocking and the scourging and the cat of nine tails ripping chunks out of his flesh as they beat him with it and hitting him over the head with a stick and the side that was pierced by the spear. We think of all those things. We think of the death that he died in Gethsemane to himself. And we think of how Brother Branham said that he died such a death that it wasn't the Romans that killed him, but he died of a broken heart to see his own children there saying, crucify him. And he suffered so much in the Garden of Gethsemane that literally his blood and his sweat, they begin to separate in his body, and he began to sweat drops of blood. He suffered so much there on Calvary to where Brother Branham said his heart just quit on him because he was suffering so much from a broken heart. He died at such a death, he said, no man could die a death like that. I don't know what it cost. I can't explain it. I can't put it into words what he went through for me. But I'm so thankful to be able to look into the face of his word and to see that he loved me that much. He cared about me that much that he came and he paid the price. Uniting time and sign 1963. Brother Bram says we see the bride uniting with the word. Why? The word is God. And as the word, as the bridegroom being the word and the bride being the hearer of the word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding, see? They're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The word becomes you. You become the word. Jesus said at that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are. And all you are, I am. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day, what day? He said, this day. Amen. What day would we recognize it? This day. Amen. They had it way back on the day of Pentecost, but they didn't really fully recognize the transformation and the invisible union that was taking place between the bride of Jesus Christ and he himself until in this age. When would we know? In this day. Amen. In this day we would recognize an invisible union that was taking place with him and his bride and a transformation to where, you know, Jesus said that man shouldn't be no longer twain with his wife, but they should be one flesh. That's what God did in this age. He opened our eyes to recognize that's what he was taking place all the way down through the church ages, with Christ and his bride becoming one. How were they becoming one? She was becoming so much of a part of the Word, and the Word becoming a part of her, that she was becoming one with the Word. To where she was literally the Word made manifest in Ephesus. She was literally the Word made manifest in each age, all the way down through. It was the Word being made flesh again through human beings. Perfect Faith, 1963. He said Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it comes because he was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. Amen. I know people get offended by it, but this is why the denominational people out here, they might be good people. They might be trying to do their best. They might be saved. They might receive eternal life, but they cannot be a part of the bride of this age unless they accept the Word for their age, because how can they be made one with their mate if they don't even know what he is? How can they maybe made one when they're worshiping him in a trinity of three gods and three names they claim it is, when it's really, it's titles, it's not names? How can they become one with him when they reject the very word that was brought in this age? If you were going to be bride in Paul's age, you had to come out and follow Paul's message for that age. You had to be one with the word for that age. No doubt there'll be people that was saved. Brother Bram said there'll be Gamalias, there'll be Nicodemuses, there'll be those that was kind to the bride, there'll be foolish virgin, but the bride of Jesus Christ out of each age followed the word for their age. If ye abide in me and my words in you, my words, this word, he said, abides in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See, if ye say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. Amen. Not you might have, not a hope so. We're not going off of hope, we go off of faith. You shall have what you said, he says. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. He said, time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Amen. When faith anchors down in the believer's heart, I don't care how long it takes. He said, time, space, nothing else will interfere with it. Once it's settled in the believer's heart, it's as good as finished. Amen. It's a finished work. When Abraham accepted the word that had been given to him, that him and Sarah would have a child, it took 25 years. It took a lot of traveling around and wandering about in his pilgrimage. But time and space and geography couldn't hold it back. It was going to produce what it had said in its time and in its season. Oh, if we could have that kind of faith tonight. The token, 1963, he said, the word assures us of the promise because it is the promise. The word is the promise, and the word is the God, and the word is ours. And we become the word, and the word becomes us. And if you abide in me and my word in you, then see, it just becomes one great big family. See, it assures us because why? Well, it's part of us. See, it becomes part of us. He says, what a text. Amen. So when you become a part of the Word and the Word becomes a part of you, it's just one great big family. He says, what is it? I was in him and he was in me. Amen. When he was here in the flesh body, yet he was in the Father and the Father was in him. The fullness of the Father dwelt in him. And then he came back and divided himself up amongst the believer, so that when you receive it and you become a part of him, when you become a part of that Word and I become a part of that Word, we may have came from different backgrounds. We may have came from different churches. We may have come from different states and different nationalities or whatever it would be, but there's something about it. When you get around a real, true believer of God, maybe they came out of a different denomination than you did. Maybe they came out of a different upbringing. Maybe even around the message. They was raised in very different teaching and set under very different type of ministries than you did. But when you get around a real, true believer of the Word of God and you begin to fellowship with them, there's something in it. It just seems like you've known them forever. Why? Because you have.
Amen.
Amen. Because they were back there in eternity with you. You may not be able to remember them. Brother Branham said, we bypassed our theophany. We can't remember being back there because we weren't in a body like this, but we were in his thinking. We were in his thoughts. We were in his genes as a thought that was going to be made manifest in the age that we would live in. We were a part of him back there. What is it? One big great family of God moving forward. Doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter what your background was, who your mommy was, who your daddy was, what type of denominational pew you came up in, or what type of message teaching you sat under. It's all, when it's the Holy Ghost, it divides all that. It looks beyond all that. It doesn't draw circles. Well, it does, but it draws them bigger to let more of the family of God in. Doesn't draw somebody out, it draws them back in. Questions and Answers, 1964. The bride who has become the Word, a complete atonement was made of Christ because he is the Word. That body was rended. And when that body was rended, the bride was in that body because it's all the Word. He says, amen. You see it? Oh, my. That's why we don't have to stand the judgment. He already took our judgment. Amen. When his body was rent, when his body was beaten, when his body was slain there on Calvary as an atonement to the sins of everyone that could accept it, I was a part of that body. You were identified in that body. You were a part of that seed. Amen. From the foundation of the world. You was a part of that way back before there was a moon and a star. Way back before there was light. You were a part of that gene seed that was on the inside of God. And he took part of that and he created a blood cell. And he places it in the womb of a virgin. And from that blood cell, he began to shed the blood, not of a Gentile, not of a Jew, but the blood of Jehovah was shed there on the cross. Amen. It was God's blood, his creative blood. It couldn't be something, oh, I know he came down through the lineage of the tribe of Judah. That was just what his parents' lineage was. That was just the ones that was going to raise him. That was just for a spiritual type to show how he would be positioned and what his authority would be as king, to sit on the throne of David, as son of David in the millennium. It was all in types and shadows, but it wasn't the blood of David. It wasn't the blood of Joseph or the blood of Mary, but what was it? It was the blood of God himself. He placed, amen. He took a seed from himself and he placed it there and he shed his own blood at Calvary for us. Amen. There was no king, there was no priest, there was no prophet, there was no monarch or scribe or good man or rich man that was worthy to do it. It took God's own blood. And when he shed that blood, you was a part of that. You had representation there. That's why he can look beyond our faults tonight. That's why he can look beyond our mistakes and our sins. And when we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, he doesn't even remember him anymore because he's not looking at you. He's looking at the sacrifice that was made at Calvary. He was looking at that perfect sacrifice. Why? The body's already been rended. You don't have to go through the tribulation. You don't have to go through the judgment. Why? Because it's already paid. The price has already been paid. How much did it cost you, little Benny? I don't know. I'm just so thankful I can look into the face of it. Questions and Answers. I'm sorry, that's the one we just read. Restoration of the Bride Tree, 1964. He says he's got to have a bride. He's got to have a bride tree. She's got to be born of the same material, the Word made flesh. If he was the Word made flesh, and he's in you and you're in him, if you're an attribute of him, Brother Bram said, if I have the life of John Dillinger in me, I'd go about and shoot people. He said, if I had the life of Shakespeare in me, I would go about and I would write great poems and plays and things like that. He said, if I had the life of Beethoven, I would write great music and all these different things. It would produce the life that was in him, would produce whatever life that it was. So if we have the life of Christ and his whole life was manifesting the Word, how can the bride of Jesus Christ be anything else but the Word made manifest, amen, in this age? Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 1963. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, then express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. Hey man, you don't become the Word because you just decided one day, you know what? I think I'm a part of the bride. I'm just going to decide. I'm just going to be that. You don't become the Word when you just decide to, I think I'll quit smoking and I'll quit drinking and I'll do all these things. You can't do a mental workup to get into this thing. But when you become the Word and you allow the Word to begin to work through you, then it's the same thing as it was when he walked the shores of Galilee. It's the Word made manifest in flesh again. Not the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but a portion of deity that's laying in you. Why? Because God has always worked through flesh. God has always, in every age, worked through flesh. He's got to have a body that he can work through in this age, manifesting the Word through flesh again in this age. Revelation chapter 5, part 2, 1961, he says, now notice, it was a lamb, redeemer, a lamb, redeemer, just like the first. God never can change. He says, amen. The first redeemer was a lamb in the Garden of Eden. It was a lamb that God offered. And here it is again, plumb over in Revelation. It is again a lamb to redeem what? The fallen condition and the fallen inheritance of a fallen race of people. The lamb comes back to redeem, like ours was at the beginning, to redeem us. To redeem what? What's he going to redeem us about? To break, bring it into anything that's redeemed is something that's been lost. What did we have at the beginning? Eternal life. Amen. We was heirs of the world. We had life. We never had to die. We never had to be sick. We never had to get old. We never had any worries. There's no funerals, no graves, no evil, no death, no gray hairs, no stooped shoulders, no mourning, no crying. We had life eternal. Amen. We had the jurisdiction over all the earth. We was just a God, that's all, on the earth. Walk about, and if this tree didn't look right standing here, we'd say, be thou picked up and sit over there. And if it would do it. The winds was blowing. We didn't want the winds to blow. Peace be still, and it did it. And what did he come to do? To redeem all that back to us again. Amen. He says, oh my, get all that back again. I want to remind the devil tonight that all that Adam lost, Jesus Christ came to redeem. Amen. He didn't come back just to redeem salvation. He didn't just come back to redeem healing. But all that Adam had lost, all of the portion of the power of deity that was placed into his hand to be able to speak to the storms, and it would cease. The winds, rather. There were no storms. I'll correct that before somebody else does. To be able to speak to the wind and the wind cease. To be able to speak to the tree and the tree move. To be able to speak to plant life and animal life and it obey him. All that was lost, Christ came to redeem it. You say, oh, I believe that, Brother Nathan. I believe it'll be that way in the millennium. He didn't come to redeem it in the millennium. He came to redeem it right now.
Amen.
You are now the sons of God.
Amen.
Not you will be, not you might be, now. You are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, I can't believe that, Brother Nathan. I can't believe that we would have that type of power. Well, let me give you a few examples. In Colorado, there was a storm that came up. They were telling on the radio, bypass Colorado, go around, go another way. There was a blizzard coming, and a prophet of God stands right in the middle of the storm. He's headed back to camp because his own human nature, like any of us, was to run and hide as quickly as you could. But God said, come walk with me.
Right.
You come walk with me. You're safer with me in the blizzard than you are by yourself, hiding in the tent or under a vehicle. You're safer with me out in the foreign fields in the missionary work. You're safer with me on a rocking ship or on a dropping plane than you are in your own living room. Come walk with me a while. Hey man, why don't you walk with him a while tonight? You're safer. I don't care what your condition. I don't care if you're in prison, if you're jobless, if you're hopeless, if you're in the hospital and the doctors have given you up. You're safer walking with him than you are sitting in your own recliner with a soda and a can of Pringles. You're safer with him. I don't care where he would lead you. There was three Hebrew children rather one time, and they was walking up and they was going to have to either bow down to a man-made idol or they was going to have to go into a fiery furnace. God said, come walk with me a little while. You're safer in the fiery furnace than you are standing out here with these bunch of heathens.
All right.
You're safer in the fiery furnace than you are with this bunch of idol worshipers. Oh, he's the same God tonight. The same God that could stand there. They said, I thought we just put 3 men in, but who is this fourth man in the fire? And he stood there. We read the quote the other night. Brother Branham said they was in there for 3 hours. And they were safer in there, Brother Hoover, than they were standing right outside of it. You say, oh my, how can that be? Well, the men that led them up there that was right on the outside, they perished from just the heat near the door. But the ones walking with Jesus was safe. That was before the shedding of blood. What about now? What about now for the bride of Jesus Christ? Back before his precious blood was shed on the cross, Daniel went into the lion's den. These starved lions that they kept for this type of event, they put them down there. Their stomachs was growling. They was ready for some prophet-sized burgers. And they put him down in the pit, and they were probably fighting one another, thinking, oh, I get this part and I get that part. And a pillar of fire came down and stood right between the lions. You know, there's something about lions. They're scared of fire. There's a lot of people that's still scared of the fire. They're not even lions. They might be liars, but they're not lions. And the pillar of fire came and stood right down in between them. And those lions stopped their mouth. And King Darius came and looked over into the pit. And he'd been having an all-night prayer meeting. But, you know, being not being a real true man of God yet, not really seeing what God's power could do, just kind of being a halfway believer, he came to the pit. And he wasn't really sure if Daniel would respond or not. But he said, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? He said, oh, King, live forever. He was more than able. He was able. He did deliver me. Amen. What was it? That was before the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. That was before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, making men and women again deity on 2 feet in this age and every church age that was able to receive it. If he could do that back then under the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, what can he do for the bride of Jesus Christ tonight? Prophet of God walked out there and said, storm, you cease. And he said, within a few minutes, even the leaves was dry. Amen. I just believe it, Brother Darrell. Amen. Why? That's the power that Adam had. Amen. That's not anything new. That's been around for thousands of years. Adam just happened to lose it. But Christ came back to restore that type of power to his church. Amen. He went out there and, you know, there was a tumor in his wife and he spoke to the tumor and it was gone. Why? He had the same power that Adam had. Amen. He went out there and he ran into a tree with a lawnmower and there happened to be a hornet's nest there. And my, the hornets began to swarm all around him. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. Go back to your home. I won't bother you anymore. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Adam had that power. And Christ came to restore that power back. Adam couldn't just name the hornets. He could control them. Brother Hoover's grandmother worked for Brother Branham, helping with the children and things. When she first came to the house to work for him, he took her out to the back window and he pointed and he said, you see that stake there by the tree? She said, yes, sir. He said, I've made a promise to those hornets. He said, don't let the children around that. I've promised them we won't bother them anymore. They want to claim he was this and he was that. He was so much a man of his word, he kept his word to some hornets. Amen. Amen. That's the type of prophet we're following. Oh my, he began to go and pray for a sick man. He said he was working the patrol lines and things with the public service and he began to cross that field and he was a conservation officer too and they had him carrying a pistol because of it and he said he just tossed his pistol up in the truck there and he began to cross the fence and he forgot there was a killer bull that stood in that field that had just killed a black man a few months before. And he said that bull began to stand up and to charge him and he reached for the gun, but the gun wasn't there. He said, oh my, that would have been what most of us would have done. That's what I did last night when I heard something that sounded like a woman screaming at the top of her lungs when I was outside and it was a fox. I don't know if you've ever heard a fox scream or not, but goodness, it'll raise the hair on the back of your neck. And I instead of reaching for Jesus, I reached for the 9mm, Brother Hoover. He said he did the same thing. He reached for the gun, but the gun wasn't there. He said, I'm so glad it wasn't. I'm so glad it wasn't. He said, I would have shot the bull, and I would have had to pay the man for it. And he said it began to charge him. He looked around for a tree. There wasn't no tree to be had. And he said something just began to come over him, just a love for that bull. Let me tell you, you cannot work that up. You cannot manufacture that. You can't jump up and down and work up a sweat and work that up. It has to be God. He said, oh, he said, how I wish it would happen all the time. And he said when it got a few feet from him, it just locked her up. What did it do? It got into that same presence that those in the prayer lines got into. He would tell them, don't worry, that won't hurt you. That's just him. And the bull got there and he thought the same thing. Hold up. I'm not crossing that presence. What was it he spoke to? A bull. You say, oh, I just don't have enough faith to believe that. Well, then you don't have enough faith to believe that Adam could tell the cheetah, the lion and the tiger and all that, tell him where to go and where to lay and all those things. That's what we're going back to, remember?
Amen.
Amen. But I don't think it's just something that we have to put away off in the future. You mean, Brother Nathan, you think you're going to be able to control animals? If the Holy Spirit within me gives me the unction to, I can. Yes,
Amen.
You can too. That's not just for the pastor. That's not just for the prophet. Brother Bam said there was a girl that was walking down an alley one time, and he said there was a man begin to follow her, a great big man. He was following her. He was getting closer, and he was getting closer. And he said she was just praying, Lord, just protect me. And about that time, a great big dog came up on the porch, and his hair began to bristle, and he began to growl, and he walked out there right beside her, and he walked right along with her all the way to her home. The man headed the other direction, just like you or I or anybody else would have done when he saw this great dog walking with her. What was it? The Holy Spirit was protecting his child. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit can still control animals.
Amen.
He can still, if he can control the beast at Ephesus that Paul fought with, he wasn't talking about, a bunch of bulls and goats over there. He was talking about the beast that he wrestled with, of the carnal nature of the men down there. If he can control animals, he can control men.
Right.
You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. Portland, Oregon. A man completely insane came into the building, said, I'll break every bone in your body. But what was it? The same power that was given to Adam had been restored back by Jesus Christ, and he placed it in the hands of his prophet. A few minutes before, he was looking around for a place to run with the rest of the preachers, but then something came over him, and he said, I felt sorry for the man.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus came to redeem back all that was lost. Amen. You say, I don't know if it would control a human being like that. It does me. It does me. I would have been a miserable wretch, Brother Lee. I was running just as hard as I could, but it got a hold of me and turned me around. Amen. It doesn't just get a hold of bulls and hornets and storms and tumors. It can change lives and turn them around. Amen. It can turn us around. When we're headed in the wrong direction, it can reach out and grab us and say, no, I'm not going to let you go that far. You've gone far enough.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So listening to a tape today, Brother Bram said, that's where they lost him. That's where Mary and Joseph lost him, was at the Feast of Pentecost. He said they went and they began to leave and they began to go away from him. And said as soon as they got away from him, trouble began to set in. He said, Lazarus, there he's quoting there from Prince of the House of David, Mr. Ingram. And he said, Jesus used to stay with Lazarus and his sisters. And he said, but when Jesus left, then trouble began to come in. He said, when Jesus leaves your home, it'll do the same thing. And he said, they left him back at the Feast of Pentecost. And they went a 2 days journey. And they recognized they had went off without him. He said, that's where the churches have gone and left him out today. He said, the Methodist church, the Baptist church, the Catholic church. He said, even the Pentecostal church has left him at the Feast of Pentecost. How could the Pentecostal church leave him at the Feast of Pentecost? Because he wasn't talking about a denomination. He was talking about an experience.
Amen.
And when this began to take place, and the Holy Spirit, Brother Bram said in one place, he said, can you imagine it? He said, God dividing himself and separating himself amongst the people so that he could place a little bit of deity in David Hoover and a little bit of deity in Trevor Emond and a little bit of deity in Bill Layton and Arnie Bird and Aaron Peister and on down through, placing a little bit of deity. What was it? God separating himself.
Amen.
Why? Because he needed a body in this age too.
Amen.
It wasn't just something that Brother Bram said, you know, when he was there on earth, it was one man doing it. But he said, now it's all over the world. Amen. It's in Zimbabwe. It's in China. It's in Russia. It's into the frozen lands of the Ukraine. It's into Canada. It's down into South America. What is it? The Holy Ghost working through his body in this age. The resurrection of Lazarus, 1951. And if we become in spirit sons of God, deity dwells in the man. Hallelujah. He says, then you talk about blind eyes being opened. They said nothing impossible to God. God said nothing impossible with you. If you'll believe, not with God, but you, deities in the man. The very God that stood back there on the mythical platform of the eternities and rolled worlds off of his hands and created these things, give you the privilege to be his sons. And you're a part of him. And God dwells in mankind, and man himself is deity. He says, hallelujah, there you are. It might choke you, but study over that a little while, see? Amen. He is, God dwells in man, and man becomes a son of God. Not him in himself, but the Holy Spirit that's in him is God. The Creator lives in the creation. He says, oh my. You know, we get accused in this age of worshiping a man. We don't worship the man. We worship the deity that was in the man.
Right.
Somebody said, oh my, they're teaching that Brother Branham's deity. He was. He just wasn't the fullness of it.
Right.
I'll take it a step further. I am too.
Right.
I'll take it a step further. Don't put it up here on the platform. You are too if you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Oh, you don't get around that deity spirit. You better watch that. Oh, I've got it in me already. Not the watered down, perverted version that they have out here as a doctrine and a dogma and a man-made idea that he was literally Jesus Christ. No, I don't believe that. No more than I believe I'm literally Jesus Christ or Brother Lee or any of you, that you're literally Jesus Christ. But I do believe that the Creator still lives in the creation.
Amen.
I do believe that it was the Creator that lived in the creation that could speak. And a little girl with no eyeballs in her sockets, white, began to spin around and to perform eyeballs. I don't have any problem with that. How do you think mine got here? God put them there. You say, no, Brother Nathan, it was a scientific process. Your parents, they met each other, and it was just a process scientifically. Then why are some babies born without eyeballs? God put these here. Even that big ugly nose that some of you've got, he put it there. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You may look in the mirror and hate your nose and wish Dr. So-and-so could fix it for you. God put that there. God made you that way. You was fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what's your condition tonight. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God that could speak and there not be eyeballs in a socket. It wasn't a humble Kentuckian with a seventh grade education. He couldn't create a blade of grass, let alone an eyeball. No more than you or I or anybody else could. But it was the God that was living inside of that creation.
Amen.
I like the way Brother Billy Paul said it. He said, I don't worship the man, but I glorify the God that was in the man.
Amen.
Amen. I don't worship the creation, but I certainly glorify and worship the creator that was in that creation.
Amen.
Who do you pray to, Brother Branham? Who did Jesus pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who did he pray to? Here he was, God himself. How could he pray to God when God was there in flesh? He said, the same way that you do to the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. Amen. I don't pray. Maybe you do. I don't pray to a God 10 million miles away. He's a lot closer to me than that.
Amen.
He is to you too, if you can just recognize it tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to send a telegraph and wait for it to come back. He's right, a very present help in an hour of trouble. He's just as close to you as your right arm, Brother Branham said.
Amen.
The Creator lives in the creation. Oh my, if we could just truly catch that tonight, there wouldn't be a sick person go out of here. If you could just truly catch that tonight, you wouldn't have to live in fear. You wouldn't be worried about what the doctor says or what this one says or what that one says. If you could truly recognize, you're not walking alone. You're not walking by yourself. But the Creator lives in the creation. He says, how I think of that, then stand with an unwavering faith and ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. There he is, God, there he is. Again, statue of a perfect man, 1962.
Amen.
Now that is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, see? Amen. I appreciate this building that God has given us. But when we all leave and it's an empty building, He's not hanging out here waiting for us to come back. You take Him with you and you bring Him back. Amen. It's no longer Him dwelling in a tent made with hands, but He's dwelling in tabernacling Himself in flesh. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. What? A body of flesh. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, see, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. God can walk in. God can see in. And God can talk in. God can work in. Amen. He says, living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you.
Amen.
I want to be very clear tonight. Try to make this very plain because I know it's a touchy subject. But we do God such a disservice when we place absolutely everything in the body and try to place it all on Brother Branham.
Amen.
Let me clarify that very specifically with this statement. I don't believe there's any person, not me, not any minister, not anybody on the face of the earth that is going to do all of the things that Brother Branham did. No one's going to have a greater ministry than he did. You say, well, I believe this and I believe that. Well, he said, if anything greater than this rises, call me a false prophet. I'm not looking for anything greater to rise. He said, we've already got the greatest thing that we could have. Amen. I'm not looking to be a Brother Branham or try to elevate myself to that level. Don't ever get that idea because I make a statement like that about not putting it all on Brother Branham. But my, if we put it all just on the prophet, or if we do like some churches and just put it all up here on the platform and the anointing is just on the minister, just on the evangelist, just on the pastor, whoever it is, we do God such a disservice. Because He's got more than just a prophet. He's got more than just a pastor. He's got more than just an evangelist. He has those things and we believe in it. Amen. We thank God for it. Where would we be without those things?
Amen.
I believe in it tonight. But don't leave it all up here on the platform.
Amen.
Don't leave it all on the tape recorder on your bookshelf. Deity wants to live inside of you. He has a part that He wants you to perform. He has a part that He wants you to play, that He wants you to act out. He wants to come and so make Himself known to you that it's literally the Word made flesh again in you. To ignore that and to walk away from it and to say that God doesn't work that way in this age is to do such a great disservice to God.
Amen.
When He can use each and every one of you.
Amen.
He can use the housewife. He can use the mechanic. He can use the factory worker. Who's going to witness to those people that you come in contact with? Deity in flesh again in this age.
Amen.
Who's going to have the right words to say to those that are dying in a terrible world out here of darkness and misery? Who's going to be able to have the unction to speak the right thing to them? Take ye no thought what you shall say. It'll be the Holy Spirit that's speaking through you. He still moves in that way. He still moves in that way. Don't try to put it all on Brother Nathan. Oh, my, well, we have such a good pastor and sure appreciate him and appreciate all that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But don't put it all up here on me.
Amen.
Amen. It takes the body of Jesus Christ working together. It takes the body of Jesus Christ. People say, oh, I believe in a one-man message. I do too. I believe one man brought the message. I'm not looking for anybody else to bring any more of it. I'm not looking for anybody else to interpret it to me. But he said, from that messenger goes others. He said, from that messenger, when he brings that message, he said, then there's others that take the message and run with it. He said, there's others that receive that message. St. Paul could go out and bring the message, and then he would send out Titus and Timothy, and Philip would take it to the Ethiopian eunuch. All these ones, what was it? The body working. The body spreading the word. What is it today? Somebody's got to print the books. Somebody's got to print the tape. Somebody's got to take and fly those overseas and hand them out to people. Somebody's got to be a witness at their job. Somebody's got to be a witness at their school. Somebody's got to be living instrumentality so that people can see God in flesh again in this age.
Amen.
Don't try to limit Him and put Him in a box and figure it all out. He's going to use who He will, how He will, when He will. If he can use a donkey, if he can use a money-hungry prophet in the way of Balaam, oh my, the Bible called him a soothsayer. That's what it says in the book of Joshua. I just read it today. Called him a soothsayer. But yet some of his prophecies are still coming to pass. God was even able to use him. I'm not going to put a limit on God and say, no, God, you can only come through this avenue. However God wants to use. Sister Sherry was telling me today, I don't think she would mind me telling it. She was getting all distressed yesterday and just was in a lot of pain, different things going on. The doctor was telling her she was going to have to do this and have to do that. And she was getting all worked up and upset. And she was trying to remember some of the things that, you know, that we've been teaching on. But she, you know how it is. Sometimes when you're in the situation, it's a little different than when you're in the pew. It's one thing to sit there and amen it and nod your head, and then it's another thing to be standing there saying, here's the fiery furnace, go right in.
All right.
She was getting nervous and upset. The doctor was telling her, I think you're going to have this done. I think you're going to have that done. You're going to have to do a major surgery. You're going to have to do this. And she was getting all worked up, and a little nurse came in, and she said, listen, we're not going to worry. We're not going to worry. She said, worry isn't going to do you any good. This was just a little nurse, probably a little nominal girl or something. Probably didn't know anything about God sending a prophet, but God was using this little nurse. And when she said that, Sister Sherry began to think, that's right. Brother Bram said there's no value in fear. All these different things began to come to her. What was it? God was working through somebody to help her. She said, I just calmed right down a little bit after that. The pain began to leave and things. What is it? God will work through anybody he can. If God can work through a cigarette pack for a prophet to get a sermon out of it, I figure he can work through just about anything.
Amen.
Don't limit God to what he can use. If God can work through an old jawbone of a mule that was my one hit against a brass helmet, it would have shattered into dust. If God can use that to slay 1,000, I believe God can use just about anything. A true sign that is overlooked, 1961, to be a Christian, you must be Christ-like. Tabernacling deity in you with the Holy Ghost like it fell on the day of Pentecost. Not some emotion, he said, but I mean a real Pentecost. What does it produce? Brother Bram said, if the true vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll produce exactly what it did on the day of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, rather. It'll produce exactly what it did through the book of Acts. It'll write another book of Acts. It'll write another book of Acts in your life. Brother Nathan, you mean I'll raise the dead and I'll do these things? I mean he'll do whatever he wants to through you. Everybody in the Bible didn't raise the dead. In fact, there were very few that raised the dead. Everybody in the Bible didn't heal the cripples and open the blind eyes. In fact, there were very few that did. But everybody that was God's people fulfilled their portion of the word. They were the word for their day. Samson and all of his mistakes and all of his failures, he was the word for his day. David and all of his mistakes and all of his failures, he became the word for his day. He was fulfilling his part, his portion. All the ones down through the ages. And then we look at ourselves and we think, poor pitiful me, I did this and I made this mistake and I did this over here. How can I ever do anything for God? The same way that all those other flawed ones did. God working through you.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own. Brother Branham would stand there, he'd say, I don't know you, I don't know anything about you. And then the next breath he'd say, this is your address, this is your name, this is your daddy's name, this is where you live. I thought you just said you didn't know him. He didn't. That wasn't him. He'd have to go back on the tape and listen to it himself.
Right.
Why? It wasn't him speaking. A true sign overlooked. The Holy Ghost is tabernacling deity. Your word is his word. I tell you what we need today is a call. What does it do? It produces written epistles, read of all men. Everybody's not going to pick up an iPod or an iPhone and listen to it. Everybody's not going to pick up a Bible and study it out and search it and pray and seek God. But there will be people that will see your life in action.
Amen.
And they'll be judged by what they were presented. The word made flesh before them. Awakening Jesus, 1963, the life that's within us is not only a creative life, but it's part of his own life. That's the reason we have the authority to speak to the devil.
Amen.
Because it's God's own creative life, if you're anointed. That's why I like to wait till the end of the service to pray for the sick. This only works if you're anointed. That's why we have people come up and be prayed for at the end of the service. Why? If you're anointed. You say, Brother Nathan, sometimes I've heard you in a prayer line rebuke the devil and tell the devil what to do and things like that. You mean you think you have power to do that? No. But the one within me does.
Amen.
The one within you does. That's the reason we have the authority to speak to the devil, to a devil rather, because it's God's own creative life if you're anointed. Correctly, not you. It's not you that speaketh, but the Father that dwelleth in you. See, take no thought what you'll say, because be at it at that time. Just go on, stay with it. He says, oh, I love that. Now today, you know, a lot of these televangelists and things, you can tell by the way they act and the things they've done. They've stood there in the mirror and they've practiced that smile and they've practiced those sentences and they got it just right and they probably quoted it to somebody on their staff 15 times before they got out there. But Peter and John, when they walked down to the gate called Beautiful, they didn't have a little conference and say, now, John, when we get down there, there's probably going to be some beggars down there. And I've got a great line that I think would really, oh, it'd be just a crowd pleaser. Let's just say, silver and gold have I none. And then I'm working with the rest. And John say, how about, but such as I have, I give it to you. Oh, that's just perfect. Let's write that down.
No.
Wasn't them speaking. It wasn't something that was pre-programmed and pre-planned and pre-thought out. They got out there and a situation faced them and the Holy Spirit gave them unction. And it was more than just words. It produced action. It produced the word made manifest so that a man whose legs didn't have the strength to stand in one moment, in the next moment went not only standing, not only walking, but the Bible said he went running and leaping into the temple. I'm sure that disturbed their very stiff and starchy meeting that Saturday afternoon of the Sabbath. I'm sure they was just, oh my, they were so upset. Here this man comes in running and jumping and all these things. Goodness gracious, he is just totally upset. The service today, and my, I had a scripted plan and everything was just going right until this fanatic comes in, starts running and jumping around the building. But what was it? There was a life that was down on the inside of him that wasn't just talking about what the word said. It was a quickened, performing word made flesh of what the word said. He wasn't just talking about it. He wasn't just arguing about it. He was living it. He was literally walking and jumping and running it.
Amen.
Amen. The quickening power had came into him. God perfecting his church, 1954. Then the next time God was manifested was in his son, Christ Jesus. Then he become through a virgin, conceived by a virgin, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. God himself came down into a blood cell and wrapped the blood around him. Oh my, think of it tonight. The blood cell, the germ of life of God himself, wrapped in this blood cell that brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now what he did does by that to make you perfect and to bring you back into fellowship. He brings you through that blood cell into himself. You get it? Through the blood cell of the Lord Jesus that unveiled the life of Jehovah. And we coming through the blood cell becomes a part of the life. So deity itself lays in the man that's received the Holy Spirit. You are a son. I'm a Branham by birth and a part of Mr. and Mrs. Branham is in me. And if you become a son or a daughter of God, part of deity lays in you.
Amen.
See how the devil robs you? Say, oh, you can't do this. All things are possible.
Amen.
To them that believe.
That's right.
See how the devil robs you? How many times has he robbed us? Oh, my, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. I'm so unworthy. That's right. You are unworthy. I'm unworthy. Brother Branham was unworthy. Samson was unworthy. David was unworthy. Paul was unworthy. Peter was unworthy. Uh-huh. There wasn't one that was worthy. They went all through heaven and all through earth searching. John began to weep because there wasn't one found worthy.
Amen.
There wasn't one beyond the curtain of time. There wasn't one that was still alive on earth. They searched through all of heaven. They searched through all of earth. There wasn't one that was worthy.
Amen.
But then John began to weep because he recognized here set the book of redemption. All the names through all eternity and all the names through all the ages that was to be redeemed. It was sitting there. But no man that was worthy to come and loose it. It meant all that Adam had lost was lost forever because there was no man worthy. He began to weep and he began to cry. And the angel said, weep not, John. Look over there. And there was a lamb that looked like it had been slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, I want to remind the devil tonight, God didn't have to come up with the plan of redemption when he convinced Eve to fall in the garden. God already had the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. He already had a plan of redemption worked out for us, and there stood a lamb. He looked like a lamb, but he was a lion. It was a paradox. And he walked over and he took the book. And he was found worthy to loose the seals thereof. And he opened up the plan of redemption. And he laid it out. And all those names that had laid there over the years began to be manifested. And this one out of Ephesus. And that one out of Pergamos. And this one out of Sardis. And all the way down through to the names that laid there on the Lamb's Book of Life from Laodicea. It laid open.
Yes.
Why? Satan had the title deed to it because of what Adam did. But now the original owner came back to claim what was rightfully his. He came and he paid the price and he laid it open so that all those names that laid there could be redeemed back. Not a halfway redemption, but back to all that Adam had lost. And a part of deity lays in you. See how the devil robs you? Say, oh, you can't do this. All things are possible to them that believe. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I don't have enough faith. I don't have this. I don't have that. Brother Branham said, that's just exactly what the devil wants you to say. That's just exactly how the devil wants you to talk. You're talking his language. Oh, I don't have faith for this. I don't have faith like brother so-and-so. I'm just not as humble as brother so-and-so. I'm not as this as sister so-and-so. And I guess I'm just so unworthy and so miserable. And you're talking right down the devil's avenue when you go to talking like that. You need to be saying, I'm redeemed.
Amen.
That's right, devil. I wasn't worthy, but he was worthy.
Amen.
I'm saved. I'm victorious. I'm healed. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Victory is mine. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. Happiness is mine. Why? Because he redeemed back all those things that Adam had.
Amen.
Not because I had the capability. I was incapable. I was unable. I was unworthy. I was miserable. I was wretched. But he came and restored it back. He gave us all that Adam possessed.
Amen.
And now a part of deity lays in you.
Amen.
You might not be anything, but that deity on the inside of you is everything.
Amen.
The devil will try to rob you, say you'll never make it. You'll never have the faith that it takes. You'll never be an overcomer. You'll never have peace. He tries to rob you. He tries to put fear. He tries to make you to, oh, might just worry and be upset and doubt and question and all these things. That's just his way of talking to you. But you remind him, hey, I'm not listening to what's up here. I'm listening to what's down here.
Amen.
Intellect and deceit and confusion lays up here, but deity lays down here.
Amen.
See how the devil robs you? You say, oh, you can't do this. All things are possible to them that believe. No matter what it is. I want you to think real hard about that. No matter what it is. Sickness, sorrow, depression, financial troubles, marital troubles, no matter what it is. That's pretty all-inclusive.
Amen.
No matter what it is, you are a part of deity. A son or a daughter, not a servant, a son and a daughter.
Amen.
Why, brother, it surpasses all angels, archangels, and everything else.
Right.
You talk about power. The archangel stood there, wormwood, he had power. When God said he was going to destroy the earth, he said, let me go destroy it. I'll destroy it with water in the flood. He had power to do that.
Right.
One of them stood by, said, oh, I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. He had power to do that. Some of them had power to destroy the earth. There was legions of angels, Brother Bram said, sitting on every tree there. When Jesus died on Calvary, they said, just point your finger and we'll change the scene. We'll come and we'll destroy the whole earth and start over from scratch. All he had to do was just point his finger, Brother Hoover, say, I've had enough. But instead he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I've had enough. He said, it's finished. It's over. It's completed. No matter what it is, it's a finished work because he already paid the price. They had that kind of power, Brother Hoover. But he says this surpasses angels. It surpasses archangels and everything else. It comes right into the presence of the potter himself. And how are we brought? Through the blood. Amen. Then you come into deity. You become a part. You're welded in. Let's think of God. folding around him now. We're going to enlarge it billions of times from this blood cell. And there, God in this blood cell folded himself up and wrapped himself in this blood cell. The God, the creator of heavens and eternity. And he wraps himself in a little blood cell. Microorganism. Couldn't have seen it. Wouldn't have even showed up on a pregnancy test. And God, the creator of heavens and earth, who encompassed all eternity, encompassed all space and time, wraps himself in one little blood cell. Talk about a paradox. And he places it in the womb of a virgin. And come to redeem man to life. Hallelujah. There, when that blood cell spread out and brought the body of Christ Jesus, Jehovah himself was tabernacled in him. That through the bursting of that blood cell at Calvary might bring sons and daughters to himself in the blood cell, to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to himself. And we become a part of God. Amen. Amen. He said that's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him. When the church of Jesus Christ only knew who they were, brother. Amen. You want to make the devil mad? The two biggest ways that I know how to make him mad is to remind him who he is and to remind him who you are.
All right.
He knows who Jesus was. He knows who Brother Branham was. He knows who Paul was. He knows who Daniel was. He knows who all these were that he was defeated over and over and over by down through the ages. He knew Irenaeus, he knew Martin, he knew all these. But now his plan is, if I can just get them from seeing who they are. Amen. If I can just get them, if I can blind them to who they are, it'll stop that blood cell from reproducing itself. If I can blind them to the fact, if I had been switched at birth and I had went for 35 years and I had thought I was a, whatever last name you want to pick. If I had thought maybe I was a Trump. And then one day I begin to think, you know, I don't look like Donald. I don't act like Donald. I don't believe like Donald. Something's wrong here. And I decided to go down to the hospital and have a DNA test. And I found out, you know what? All this time I thought I was a Trump. But I've been a Bryant all along. God didn't change me into a Bryant. I was a Bryant all along.
Amen.
I just didn't know it till I had the blood test. And Satan tries to convince us, you're lost. You're not predestinated. You'll never be saved. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never have the faith that Brother Hoover has. You'll never live the life that Brother Layton does. You'll never sing like Brother Furman. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. And he's constantly trying to hide this thing from you. When the blood cell down on the inside of you has representation that you was part of that seed all along.
Hallelujah.
It just took an awakening. It took us to look into the documents and begin to look and to turn the pages and see, you know what? I'm of that original seed.
Right.
There was something about it down on the inside. Satan was trying to hide it from you. Satan was trying to convince you otherwise. You're lost. You're just a Judas. You're never going to amount to anything. You're just an old this and an old that. You're a failure. You'll never make it. But you recognized one day, I was predestinated all along.
Amen.
You didn't get predestinated down at an altar.
No.
You didn't get predestinated the first time you listened to a tape. You didn't get predestinated the first time you heard an anointed preacher preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. You was already predestinated.
Amen.
What that did was open up your eyes to recognize. You had a peek at the document and saw the original DNA laying there. You thought, oh, thank God. Thank God for that tape. Thank God for that anointed preaching. Thank God for that scripture verse that I read. Thank God for a document that I could look into and recognize what my lineage was all the way back.
Amen.
Amen. We can, you know, we can take the Bryant family back to a certain time and a certain thing and the Bryant crest and all that. And maybe Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor and different ones can look back and see what boat they got off of when they came here to the United States and all the way back down through maybe for hundreds of years. But I want to remind the devil that we can track our DNA a lot further back than that tonight. That's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him. When we recognize I'm more than a Bryant. When you recognize you're more than a Layton or a Hoover or an Eamon or a Pierce. There's something about it down on the inside. We can trace our lineage all the way back before the foundation of the world. Ancestry.com doesn't have anything on us. That's what makes Satan mad. I can also trace back where he came from, Brother Hoover. And I can trace back where his final resting place is going to be. I don't have to go to findagrave.com or whatever some of the websites are. I know where he's going to be. There was a place that was created a long time ago for him and his angels. I know where I came from. I know where he came from. And by God's grace, I know where I'm going and I know where he's going.
Amen.
That's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him. What? When you recognize that that blood cell that God wrapped himself in on the day of Pentecost, that blood cell burst forth and it produced hundreds and thousands and millions of sons and daughters that would live down through the ages. How could it be? It's for you, Peter said, and for your children, and as many as are called, as many of the far off there, as many as God will call.
Right.
It began to produce and produce and produce. That's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him when you recognize who you are. Oh, let me read it again. We become a part of God. Amen. That's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him. When the church of Jesus Christ only knew who they were, brother. Oh, you say, I know there's nothing impossible with God. He said, there's nothing impossible to you. Amen. He says, that changes the subject, doesn't it?
Amen.
Oh, they say there's nothing impossible to God. He said, there's nothing impossible to you. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it.
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come tonight. This type of power lays in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the type of power that Adam had. Whatsoever you say, Adam, that's what it'll be. You don't like that tree over there? Just speak the word. You don't like the way that dog's acting over there? Just speak the word. You don't like the original name you gave to the giraffe? Change it. You name the animals. Whatever you want them to be, whatever you want them to do, whatever time you want them to go to bed, when you want the breeze to start and the breeze to stop, here's the power, Adam. I've made you an amateur god on the earth. But through sin, Adam lost that. But through redemption, Jesus Christ gave it back to the sons of Adam. Jesus Christ gave it back to sons and daughters of God. What? So we can name it and claim it? Absolutely not. Not my will, but his will be done.
Amen.
When we can become so in tune with the Holy Spirit, not Nathan Bryant's thoughts or Nathan Bryant's ideas or Nathan Bryant's agenda, but when we can become so in tune with the Holy Spirit to where our thoughts become his thoughts, and as we'll look at next week with the help of the Lord, and our words become his words.
Amen.
Oh my, then say what you will. Hattie Wright didn't just have a license to go around and ask what she wanted every day of the week. But there came a time when she had a need. And God spoke to his prophet and said, tell her whatever she wants. That encompassed a whole lot of things. Say what you will. You want $1 million, Hattie? You've got it. You want to be the owner of Ford Motor Company? You've got it. You want to be the CEO of Pillsbury? It's yours. You want your little crippled sister, Edith, to be raised? It's yours. You want your parents that are old and sickly to be restored back to a young man and a woman again? It's yours. Say what you will. Can you imagine the power that was placed in her hands? Say what you will, Hattie. Why? Because he already knew what she was going to say.
Amen.
He already knew what she was going to say. That's when he can give us that type of power. Not when we would say, oh, Lord, I've been waiting for this. Give me that Lamborghini. But when he knows he can trust us with that kind of power.
Amen.
And he knows that it's not us. It's not our desire. It's not our will. but it's His will. And we begin to express that. When our words become His words, when we begin to manifest the word, not only with our lips, but with our lives. What do we look at Sunday night? Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. The word expressed in this age. The word lived through human vessels again in this age. Oh, if we could truly recognize who we are tonight. Brother Branham said it would make us an invincible army when we get that true revelation of who we are and who Satan is, and that Antichrist spirit trying to work in the church and discern and withstand that other spirit, discerning the two spirits, the two vines, the false and the true. He said she would become an invincible army. An invincible army. He said then the gates of hell can't prevail against her, but she will prevail over them. Amen. That's for the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. Amen. What is it? Deity laying on you. Laying inside of you. Deity walking. Deity talking. Deity picking up the phone and calling somebody to encourage him. Deity pressing the button on the elevator and deity walking in feet into the hospital room and praying for the sick. Deity placing that prayer cloth on a little sick child that's got a fever. Deity speaking the word over somebody that has a need. Deity reading a scripture to encourage somebody that's got a question. Deity texting a quote to somebody when they don't understand something, say, this is what it says right here. What is it? Deity. You mean deity texts? If it's the word, it can. You mean deity would do this and would do that? Deity would go about and do the things that I just do in my everyday life? Absolutely. Amen. It did when he was here in a flesh body. Amen. Can you imagine Brother Hoover when he sat down at his favorite fish place and he picked up the fork? That was deity eating. You say, oh, no, that was just a man. He was more than a man. When he took a walk on the beach to pray and to seek God, here he was, God in the flesh, but the flesh had to yield to the spirit on the inside of him. That was deity walking on the sands of Galilee. When he was out there sanding a table back and forth with a planer and he was out there doing different things, that was deity. Can you imagine God designing your kitchen table? You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. I don't believe those natural things that he did was God. He said, I only do that which pleases the Father. And many times we go about our average daily life and we think, I didn't do anything for the kingdom of God today. When you walked through Walmart with your long hair and your long skirt, you did something for the kingdom of God. It may not have looked like some supernatural something, but you condemned or justified every person that you walked by in that store. Their attitude towards you and your stand for the word. You brothers, when you went on the job, maybe you didn't quote 57 quotes to the guy in the cubicle beside you, but you just lived that good, clean, holy life. And when people began to make fun and say curse words and things, you just kind of turned your back and ignored the conversation. When they began to make fun of you for being a Christian and the different things, instead of reviling back, you went and found a little room somewhere and prayed for them. That was deity. Amen. Because this guy would never do that. This flesh would never do that. It was deity on the inside of you. Some of just the basic things that we do. When you're riding in the car and you reach over and turn on that tape and you begin to listen to that word. I was listening to a tape today and I was just amening and amening and amening. I thought, goodness gracious, that's not me amening. That's something down on the inside that agrees Amen. With that word. Amen. Just because we don't have sometimes spectacular days when we're just walking through and pointing at this one and them being healed and pointing at that one and their wallets being filled and pointing at that one and them getting delivered of depression, we think, well, I guess I haven't done anything for God this week. How many people did you pray for? How many people did you encourage? How many people did you text a quote or a scripture to? How many people did you think about their situation and just grieve your heart and say, oh, I'm going to go into my prayer closet? How many of you just walked on your job and when everybody else was cussing and taking smoke breaks and couldn't wait to get off work to go get a drink, you was sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, I need this Wednesday night service tonight. I just can't wait to get to church tonight. I want to come prayed up, and I want to come in the right atmosphere, and I want to do these things. Do you realize that's a deity in you?
Amen.
Doing those things?
Amen.
You say, it's just so simple, Brother Nathan. I don't think deity would just do something like that. I think that's just me. Then why is the guy across from you in the other cubicle not doing it?
Right.
Amen. Amen. God again in human flesh in this age. We'll look at it next week with the help of the Lord. Who would be the final voice to the final age? The bride of Jesus Christ. It's going to take individuals. It's going to take more than name it and claim it. It's going to take becoming one with the Word. Becoming so one with the Word to where God can look and it can be an invisible union. To where when He has a thought, He can manifest it through His bride. When He wants to speak something, He can speak it through His bride. When He wants to help somebody over in Nigeria or Uganda or somewhere, He can work through the bride to send help and to the needy and things like that. When He needs an area for the message to go to, He can lay it on a brother's heart to get the message there. What is it? God working through the body. I don't care how simple, how ordinary, how great, how big, how small, whatever it is, it's God working through the body. Some of us will never have the type of life that some of these missionaries do that go over and they go back into the tribes and jungles and things. We'll maybe never do some of the things like that that God has called them to do. But maybe God will lay it on your heart to help them pay for a plane ticket. Or maybe God will lay it on your heart to pray for them right at the time when they needed it most. Maybe God will lay it on your heart to encourage them and tell them how much of a help that they are to the bride of Jesus Christ. God has to use somebody in a different way. He doesn't use us all in the same way. But you're a part tonight.
Amen.
You're a part of the body. Whether you're just a housewife, whether you're the greatest evangelist that ever lived, whatever it is, you're a part of the body.
Amen.
Deity dwelling in you, deity working through you. You're a part of this great move in this age. Don't ever let Satan lie to you and convince you otherwise.
Amen.
Remind him who he is and who you are. Amen. Not because we chose it, not because we desired, but because of amazing grace.
Amen.
He chose us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. Thank God for His grace. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this thought that we had tonight, Lord, I know it's been a little longer, Lord, than normal, but Lord, You just kept pouring more and more out, and I feel like it was needed tonight for us to remind the devil who he is and who we are. Not because we're something, Lord, but because You're everything. Because that it's You that's living through us. It's You that's working through us. Lord, help us not to get beat down by the things of the world and get beat down by opinions and circumstances, but help us to remember we're a child of the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. As I heard Brother Branham today talking about that slave trader, saying that he found out that way over in the homeland, that one slave was the child of a king. He acted different. He walked different. He presented himself in a different way. He had a different attitude than the rest of the slaves. It wasn't that he was treated differently. It wasn't that he was fed differently. It wasn't that he got some pedestal to stand on or somebody to lift him up. But it was that he knew who he was to begin with. He didn't get any special kind of treatment. He didn't get any special pat on the back or extra food or an extra label. But he knew who he was from eternity. He knew who he was, who his daddy was, who his mommy was. God help us as the bride of Jesus Christ not to forget who we are. We may not get treated any different out here on the streets of Laodicea. We may not get a special promotion at our work because we believe the message or because we're part of the bride of Jesus Christ. They may treat us just like everybody else, but we know who we are because You showed us, You revealed it to us, Father. Oh, help us to remind Satan tonight. We're a part of You because You chose us, Father. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't inherit it. We couldn't earn it. But You chose us before the foundation of the world. You placed deity down on the inside of us, that seed germ of life, Father. Then You came and You quickened it and watered it with the Word, opened our eyes to recognize we was an eagle all along. Oh, thank You, Father, for eyes to see and ears to hear in this age. Love you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Oh, Father, tonight, if there's any that hasn't recognized who they are, Lord, may you open their eyes so that they can see. Satan has tried to rob them. He's tried to blind them of it. He's tried to hinder and prevent every way that he can, Father. But may they recognize tonight who they are because of your grace. Oh, Father, help us to recognize our potential as the bride of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be satisfied just to stay stagnant and just go about day to day without ever doing anything for the kingdom, Lord. But help us to be up and doing. Help us to be in prayer, seeking you, Father, for what you would lead us to do. As I heard your prophet say in searching a quote today, Father, he said, when you find out that what you're trying to do is in the Word, then you just stay right with it. No matter what obstacles come, you just stay right with that Word and keep going. Oh, Father, we thank you that we've recognized, Lord, that this that we're a part of is part of your Word, Father, for this age. Lord, help us to become that Word. Lord, may it be an invisible union between you and your bride to where we're so transparent that the people no longer see Nathan Bryant or David Hoover, Bill Layton, Furman Stutzman. They see Jesus Christ in flesh again today. The Word made flesh, working and helping and encouraging. Lord, the only way we'll see you until you come to catch your bride away is in each other. Help us to be so transparent that others could see you living through us again in human flesh in this age. Oh, Father, help us to stay in prayer, to die out to self, Father, so that you could use us. Lord, if you had to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane for your flesh to yield to the Spirit, Lord, if Paul had to die daily for his flesh to yield to the Spirit, how much more, Father, should we pray and seek you? God, help us. Take away every human, Lord, desire and instinct, Lord, that would be contrary to your Word. Take it all away, Father. Lord, may it just be you. Live so transparently through that invisible union of the bride to where it would be your words and your actions living through us. May we just completely become part of your Word, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you for eyes to see. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, I'm going home. Oh, I'm going soon. Lord, I'm going where I belong. Oh, and I've always been just a stranger here, but now I'm going home. Let's just worship him a little while together tonight. Oh, I'm going home. Lord, I'm going soon. Oh, I'm going where I belong. Satan, we'd like to remind you, that we've always been just pilgrims and strangers here. Oh, but now we're going home. Let's stand together tonight, worship him in song. Oh, I'm going home. Sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make. Every tear that I cry, oh, he knows my name.
Out of day, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. We'll walk. Love.
Testify. Oh, somebody testify. Help me, brother. God, I'll live. Oh, for God, I'll die.
Somebody ought to testify.
Yes.
Oh, somebody ought to testify. Tonight, somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God, for God I'll die. Church, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, for our God I'll live, and for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God, I'll
shout and sing. Oh, somebody ought to shout and sing. Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Thank you, Lord. Oh, somebody ought to praise His name. Oh, somebody ought to praise His name.
We praise Your name.
Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to testify. For my God, I'll live. For God, I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Amen. I hope you all feel that way tonight. Praise His name. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. He's so good to us. Sure love His presence. Amen. Let's sing this little this song before we go. You can be dismissed if you want to.
Well, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Well, the Lord I know ruleth o'er everything and all.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm living by faith. Oh, in Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, confiding, Lord, in Your great love. Oh, from all harm safe, in a sheltering arm. Oh, I'm living. Know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Oh, why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Well, I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, trusting, confiding, sheltering on. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm.
One day this will happen.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be old. Oh, the Master so gently He'll lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. I'm living by faith in our Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, from all harm safe in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed.
Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, from all harm saved in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Well, I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, confiding.